Chapter 9. Not that way, Cassie. This way. Lexi nodded her head toward the back of the house. Huh? Our car is that way, Cassie said, pointing toward the front of the house. I know, but we're going this way because I have a sneaky suspicion this is where the murder weapon can be found. Murder weapon? Yes, remember yesterday when John told us it was the 7-inch serrated knife? Well, I think it was one of our knives. I had brought it here during the initial setup, and now it's missing. It's got to be the one the killer used. For a fleeting second, Lexi wondered if the fact that it was their knife would cast suspicion on her. After all, she had been the one to find the body. She didn't think she would be a suspect, though. She had no motive. But it gave her even more of a reason to find the knife, which she hoped might have some evidence on or near it that would help them figure out who the killer was. Okay, so it was our knife. Why the trip to the back of the house? Cassie asked. I happened to notice a little dumpster back here behind this fence. Seems like that would be a perfect place to dispose of a murder weapon. But do you think we should be looking for it? Maybe we should call the police. I mean, we wouldn't want to destroy any evidence or anything. Cassie? Wanting to call the police? Now this was a switch, Lexi thought. Usually she avoided any kind of authority. Cassie did have a good point, though. Lexi had considered calling them, but she didn't have time to wait for the police to find it. Plus, she was still mad at Jack. The girls slipped behind a stockade fence, which camouflaged the unsightly necessities like the dumpster and central air conditioning unit for the house from the view of the mansion. It was also a convenient camouflage for them, in case anyone happened to look out one of the windows. Over to the right, on the other side of the fence, was a gigantic pool, sparkling blue water and Grecian statues all around. The construction of a new cabana building, the size of most people's homes, was in full swing on the other side of the pool. Lexi tore her eyes from the peaceful scene to look at the grungy, smelly dumpster. Putting down her box, she stepped gingerly over the greasy debris on the ground. Next to her, Cassie wrinkled her nose in disgust.
It smells pretty ripe out here, huh?
Lexi pinched her nose between her thumb and forefinger to block out the smell of garbage. With her other hand, she swatted at several flies who were circling her.
So, who's going to look in there? Cassie asked.
Lexi looked at her friend, then at the dumpster, then took a deep breath.
I will.
She walked over to the edge and tried to peek in. It was a small dumpster, but even standing on her tippy toes with 2-inch platforms, she couldn't see over the edge. Glancing around, she found a milk crate in the corner, pulled it over, and stepped up on top, allowing herself a view into the dumpster. She felt bile rise up in her throat. The smell was even worse from up there.
I don't see it. Lexi craned her head to look into the corner of the dumpster.
Of course not. What were you expecting, to have the murder weapon just laying on top? If the murderer has any sense, it'll be buried deep down inside there.
Cassie blew out a breath, causing her pink-tinted bangs to flutter. Lexi looked down into the dumpster again. Could she bring herself to get in there? The thought caused her stomach to churn, the Danish she ate earlier threatening to make its way back up. She looked around for a better solution. Over in the corner was a large push broom. If she used it to stir things around, maybe she could unearth the knife. Cassie, grab that broom over there for me. Cassie grabbed the handle and passed it over to Lexi. Lexi hoisted herself up, balancing her hips on the edge of the dumpster so she could get the broom down inside. Glancing at Cassie over her shoulder, she asked,
"Can you hold my legs so I don't fall in?"
Lexi heard Cassie burst out laughing, then felt her grab her right calf. She shoved the broom in and started sweeping the garbage around, which sent a variety of noxious smells up to assault her nose.
Her eyes weren't having much fun either. There was all kinds of gross, slimy garbage, flies, and who knew what else in there. Ugh, this is gross! She moved the broom slowly, her eyes searching for a glint of silver or the shape of a knife handle. She was just getting into a sweeping routine when...
What are you doing?
The deep voice boomed from behind them. Cassie shrieked. Throwing her arms in the air, she let go of Lexi's leg. Lexi teetered on the edge of the dumpster, her rear end up in the air, her arms flailing for something to grab onto to save her from falling in. Just as she was about to lose her battle, she felt someone grab her by the waist and pull her off the side of the dumpster. She let out a sigh of relief, then turned, coming face to face with the person who had saved her from being smothered in garbage. The last person she wanted to see right now. Jack Perillo.
What were you doing in the dumpster?
Jack demanded. Lexi felt a surge of anger bubble up inside her when she saw the hint of laughter in his eyes. She tried to back away from him, but was forced to stop when her backside bumped up against the hard metal of the dumpster.
I was looking for some of my catering equipment, she mumbled.
Looking down, she swatted at her clothing to try to remove some of the encrusted debris. She heard Jack sigh.
Lexi, I hope you aren't meddling in this case.
Meddling? What did he think? She had nothing better to do? If he had been doing his job faster, she wouldn't be forced to figure out who the murderer was in order to get the payment in the first place. The anger Lexi had felt earlier threatened to explode. She struggled to remain calm. Her eyes darted to the left. She considered sidestepping away from him, but he put his hands against the dumpster on either side of her, trapping her in between them.
And why haven't you answered my calls?
Calls? Had he called more than just the one time today? Lexi realized she hadn't checked her messages in a couple of days. She saw Jack's eyes soften. He reached over, pushing a lock of hair behind her ears.
By the way, you look nice today.
Lexi felt her heart clench. The words caught her off guard, chiseling away at her anger. Then suddenly he was leaning in to kiss her. She stood there, frozen. Did she want him to kiss her? His lips softly brushed against hers, causing Lexi to feel delicious tingles in all the right places. She was just about to return the kiss when she remembered how he had been ignoring her the past few weeks. Then her thoughts drifted to his earlier comment about meddling, and hard, cold anger chased away those warm and fuzzy tingles. She pushed on his chest with her hands, shoving him away from her.
I hope you don't think you could just breeze in here and kiss me after ignoring me for 2 weeks.
She blurted out the words, stabbing her index finger at his chest to punctuate them. Jack took a step backwards, a look of surprise on his face. Then before he could say anything, she turned on her heel and stomped off. Rounding the corner of the fence, Lexi glanced up at the house and saw a curtain flutter back. Was someone watching her? Not looking where she was going, she plowed full force into the back of Cassie, pushing her into John Darling, almost causing the three of them to fall down in a tangled pile.
What the heck?
Lexi noticed John had caught Cassie in his arms to keep her from knocking him down. Neither one of them looked too upset about it. In fact, it seemed like Cassie took a bit longer extracting herself than necessary.
Sorry.
Lexi looked at Cassie, then nodded her head toward the car.
Let's go.
She picked up her box, storming off toward the front of the house. Lexi put the box in the trunk, then slipped into the driver's seat. She looked at herself in the rearview mirror. Her hair was messed up, she had dirt on her face, and her eye was twitching like a metronome. She pulled her phone from her pocket. Jack had called yesterday. She dialed her inbox. Her heart flip-flopped when she heard the apologetic message he had left the day before. He really did care. She glanced over in the direction of the dumpster. Should she go back to talk to him? Her thoughts were interrupted by Cassie's appearance from the side of the house. She watched Cassie slide her box into the trunk, then open the passenger door, plopping herself into the seat. "What took you so long?" Lexi asked. Cassie turned, looking Lexi straight in the face.
"Did you ever hear the saying, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar?"
Lexi nodded, thinking about all the flies by the dumpster, but not sure where Cassie was going with this.
"Well, while you were busy fighting with Jack, I was talking nicely with John, and I found out something very interesting."
Lexi raised her eyebrows, indicating for Cassie to elaborate.
"Apparently, one of the sons, Bronson, has a history of violence. John said the police have picked him up a few times for fighting."
Cassie sat back, a proud look on her face.
"That is interesting."
Lexi tapped her fingernail on her front teeth.
"And I bet you won't find any record of it because the Tolliver money can come in handy for making stuff like that go away."
Cassie nodded.
"Yep. John said all those records usually get closed and purged from the public files."
"Which makes me wonder what other kinds of things Tolliver money might have made go away." She glanced nervously back up at the house.
"Good find, though. Nans and the girls will be proud."
She turned back to Cassie and held out her fist for a knuckle tap.
"Speaking of which, I better run home to shower and change. They're expecting me at the retirement center after lunch."